Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
We want to welcome our listeners back to the podcast, Three Men for Thee, in the realms of politics, prophecy, and supernatural. And today we have a special edition, breaking live news podcast with Pastor Lise Pronin in Ukraine. Today is 2-2-2-2, and we're going to get this live update. Elise, we've been hearing so many things in the news media, but the Americans are not really hearing from the Ukrainians. We know there is a critical situation going on there, and we're praying for you and your family, your friends, your churches, and we hope that you can give us an update on the situation and how we can help and pray for you further.
Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. It's very important right now to pray for Ukraine. Probably the main news today is that Putin recognized two new unrecognized republics, Luhansk region and Donetsk region. This area where I was born, actually, I was born in Luhansk region, and this area was occupied by Russian troops in 2014, and now it looks like Putin, he wants to, he created by himself, he created, or he gave permission to himself, permission to bring in this area, like his control, his tanks, his weapon, everything. That's why he created the situation where, like, Russia and maybe some other countries will recognize independency of this region that was occupied. And it's really a really scary thing, because that's mean Russia will bring weapons to this area and they will go closer to the borders with Ukraine. It's really dangerous situation. And I called just this morning to some of my friends from the eastern part of Ukraine, and I got know that this night through Luhansk and through Donetsk, they brought many new, like, military vehicles and tanks and other things, because they, like, from this moment they count this area, it's like our area under control of, like, Russia, and they do not count this area occupied anymore because of this political step from Russia and from Putin. And also I talked with people inside of area, and they started recruiting of new soldiers in Luhansk region and Donetsk region, and they do it really, I would say, intensely, very, very intensely. Like, they can come early morning or through, like, midnight, and they can come and they can take all, like, men's, and they will turn them, they would give them machine guns, and they would turn them into Russian, like, soldiers. And last night, like pastor from our region, when like my motherland, to his home tonight, Russian troops came and they took three of his young sons and they turned him into Russian soldiers. Yeah. And I mean, it's like a politician step, but in reality, it has a huge impact and it creates escalation of this conflict, and it goes like forward, it makes more danger this war.
Well, what happens? You said that they took three of the pastor's sons and turned them into soldiers. What happens if the young people say, I don't want to participate?
You don't have any options to say, I don't want to participate. They can put you in jail and they will torture you, or they can just shoot in your leg and you will realize the reality of everything and you will change your mind very soon, in few seconds.
We, Elise, we were told in this country, we were getting some mixed information. We were told by some folks that Putin really wasn't going to invade. And despite the fact that troops have been building up on the border there for quite some time, did you all get the feeling that this was imminent, that he really meant it, that he was going to come in and take this land?
Let me give you my answer from my back experience, because in 2014 we had pretty peaceful life. We were pretty well settled down at the eastern part of Ukraine, job, business, and church and everything. And when we heard first time or second time, when we got heard about possible invasion from the Russia, I mean, we were laughing because no one took it seriously. And we thought it's a joke, it's impossible. Like in 21st centuries, it's impossible that tanks will go through our city, or rockets will, or bombs will fall into our city. But in spite of all our forecasts, and in spite like it was, in spite it was not real for us, it's happened with us. And real war came into my home and literally destroyed it. Literally destroyed. 90% of buildings of my hometown were destroyed by bombing. Population of my town was 50,000 in 2014. Right now it's less than 5,000. And we did not think it's real or it's possible, but it's happened. I mean, it's not just fake. It's not, it is not just news or rumors or fears. That's reality of my life, honestly. And maybe some other people, they have different forecasts. By my experience, or because of my experience, I take it really seriously.
Well, I've been seeing the civilian population being trained for an occupation. Is that happening in Lviv as well, where the civilians?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Yeah, it's very common right now, and especially at schools. That's what we experience right now. Like our kids, they want them to be prepared, and everyday teachers, they talk with kids about possible war, about possible bombing, about places for like refugees, bomb shelters, evacuation, and other things. They also give directions to the parents for our kids. They keep within themselves like water and lights, flashlights, and medicine if they take some medicine, or snacks if it will start bombing. And Actually, all our country, we are like coming through this process right now.
Well, we appreciate your servant's heart because you are providing facilities for refugees that are, I guess, coming from the western part of Ukraine because of the situation. And God bless you for having access to facilities that can serve as refugee centers to help those fleeing. Can you say more about that?
Yes, we really need help with that because we want to be prepared, and we have experience when the war started, and many people when they became refugees, we were facing the question, how can we help them? And that's what we did last time. Many people, they scattered and they lived with relatives or Christian friends, but also we had crowds of the people and they did not have any place to go. And that's what we did. We asked local churches and we placed people in local churches. I mean, buildings, church buildings of local churches. And we would buy mattresses and blankets and pillows and water and food. And we would provide first like humanitarian aid for these people. They can stay, they can sleep, they can get rest, they can stay several days, they can get some food. And something similar we tried to, but we were not prepared at that time. Now we want to be prepared. We want to buy everything, like gasoline and bottled water and flashlights and candles and some kind of food and other supplies, for we could be prepared for crowds of refugees if the war will start. And that's right now we are in the process of this preparation.
In the in your church and in other churches there in Lviv, what percentage of the people are background or ethnic Russians?
It's difficult for me to say about all or every Lviv, like church, Lviv church churches, but our church is like I would say a specific church because we started our church community by doing ministry for refugees. And because of this, we are probably only one Russian-speaking church in this area. And I would say 70% of our people, 80% of our people, they speak Russian and they have Russian background. I mean, we are Ukrainians and we are Ukrainian patriots, but we, I would say culturally, we are like more connected with Russian language than other people in the city. And because of our background, because of this, I mean, we take it seriously and we want to be prepared and we want to help people who can be like possible refugees in this time.
Is there any antagonism or any friction within the church between the Ukrainians and the Russians there?
Oh, no. We moved to Lviv in the end of 2015, and I worked for seminary for 6 years. And as you know, seminary was growing and growing, and I worked as a director of church planting program, and I was getting more and more and more students, and I was speaking and I was preaching and I was teaching only Russian. And I did not have any problems or troubles with that. The same with our church community. We planted a new church community. We bought a church building. We are actually very active church community because we do different ministries, family ministry, teenagers ministry, international ministry. And most of our people, they use Russian language, but we didn't have any problems with that. Because everyone knows, like, it does not matter what language you speak. The most important, what position you take or what philosophy of your life. And yeah, we didn't have any problems with that.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, we had a team that was planning to come to Ukraine next month, but we had to cancel those plans. And we are so looking forward to the opportunity when we can return to continue what we do in sharing our testimony and gospel with the people of Ukraine. This this podcast will go out to many, many of our listeners, and we pray that it will increase the prayer chain. I want you to know that Jack and I are Gideons, and we bring you up in prayer every time we meet. We bring you up for prayer in our Sunday school classes. There's a group at Calvary Church that is meeting every Sunday at 5 o'clock now, praying for you all in Ukraine. So I just want you to know, dear brother, that there is a lot of prayer being lifted up for you all now.
Thank you. Appreciate for that.
Going back to the church, in the midst of all of this, do you see maybe more people coming to know the Lord is because of the stress and all on the country?
Of course, the war is, it's a pretty tough circumstances, and it's not a challenge, but it's suffering. And when people suffer, they became spiritually very sensitive and very open. That's what we could see through 2014 and 15. And when we did our ministry for refugees that time, many people, almost I would say almost everyone in our refugees camps, I organized personally 3 different refugees camps, almost all folks from our refugees camps, they accepted Christ. And even it was a fall, I think, October, and many of them wanted to be baptized, and I baptized many of these people. I mean, that's mean people will be more open for the gospel. People will be spiritually hungry, and they will be open for our testimonies and for our sermons about Christ.
Is it fair to go ahead, Jack?
Is there any discussion amongst your friends or church members that they feel that America gave a word that we would stand behind you all and help you and arm you and do these things, and that we have failed to keep our promise?
Honestly, people, like we have different people, but people who knows the history and educated people and cultural people, I mean, they realized because it was agreement, and no one's keep this agreement, and our borders broken and our areas occupied, and no one wants to help us, not like Europe or Germany or US. And we were really helpless in 2014, but even now, of course, we equipped and developed our military, but we are, honestly, we compare with Russia, we are weak. And of course, people really disappointed, because they can't see, we do not see strong position or strong support, including from US. I know it's difficult to hear, but that's what people feel. And going further, it's really tough for our people right now, because US government told or gave order to evacuate all Americans from Ukraine, even from Lviv, even from like from western part of Ukraine, because we had several families, missionaries from US, and they were deeply involved in the ministry. And now their churches or their ministry, I mean, people really like in desperate, because they don't feel any support. They do not feel like that we are like still together, because this like their friends, they moved from these places and they feel like loneliness. And it's tough and it's difficult time. And I know there is like, of course, we can excuse everything because of circumstances or because of something. But if we are talking about feelings of the people, that's what people feel.
Well, I want our listeners to know also, Elise did not ask me to do this, but I'm going to say this anyway. Elise wrote a book called The Chronicles of the Undeclared War. And for our listeners, if you really want to know the inside story of what took place in Ukraine, in Lugansk and the other areas when the occupation came in, you need to read this book, The Chronicles of the Undeclared War. And you'll know just how brutal, how terrible this situation was. And Ukrainians are still losing their lives on a daily basis along these border lines of these occupied areas. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we're going to pray for you also, because you mentioned in sometime in the future, you're going to be going towards the storm. You'll be headed to the east. And I don't want to know where you're going or what you're going to be doing, but we're going to be praying that God will be on a mission with you and that your vision will be successful in his name. So we'll be lifting that up as well. And we hope that you will just continue to keep us updated as much as you can with the situations. And you know your brothers here in America can help however we can.
Thank you.
So I know your time is valuable. We want to thank you. Is there any closing statements you'd like to make or anything?
Yeah, I would ask you, please continue to pray for our country and please try to share this information and try to share true information about our country, because it's really important. I know it can touch of many, many hearts, and many people can be involved in the ministry of Ukraine. That's what we need right now, to provide help and assist all these refugees to share gospel, to share truth with people. We really need strong shelter. We really need strong partnership. And I appreciate for your ministry, and I wish God bless all of you guys.
Thank you, Elise.
God bless you, buddy.
Thank you. God bless you guys too.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted,
that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.